writer said in Psalm 119, verse 104 and 105, "Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." While the following scripture study cannot be exhaustive, it is designed to provide insights toward a better understanding of God's word, awareness of ways that are false, and encouragement to study more so that you may live rightly in this world and live forever in heaven.
The book of Habakkuk, which follows, is one of the grandest books for it to be so short in all the Bible. There is a little book in the Old Testament that is quite unique in pace, content, and richness. The powerful theme of God's use of the nations is the heartbeat of its pages. One of the great theses of the entire Bible is found among its verses, Habakkuk 2:4-6, "The just shall live by faith." The powerful song, "The Lord is in His holy temple," is based on a graphic section within its hallowed words. The sadness of Babylonian captivity is the setting, and its writer had Jeremiah and Zephaniah as contemporaries. We speak, of course, of the dynamic but often overlooked Habakkuk. May we together peruse the pages of this valuable and exceedingly practical book of the prophets. In Jeremiah 25:9, we learn that Nebuchadnezzar was the servant of the Lord. In Daniel's masterful treatise, we read of Jehovah ruling the kingdoms of men. Habakkuk is that section of Holy Writ that poignantly illustrates those truths. God, the maker of men, can use His creation to glorify the heavenly purpose. Babylon was committed to evil and would reap the just punishment for her sins. But in the interim, the army of Chaldea would serve a noble purpose. God would use them to subdue His own wayward people and humble them for 7 decades of bondage in Babylon. A fine commentary upon this theme is found in Romans 9, when the sovereignty of Jehovah is discussed fully. The entire book of Habakkuk emphasizes that the Creator has oversight in the affairs of men. The key to the anguish cry of Christ on Calvary is found in Habakkuk 1:13. "Since God is of purer eyes than to look upon sin, He had to momentarily look away from the one who bore our sins in His own body upon the tree." 1 Peter 2:24. "Jesus was not a sinner, but was made to be sin offering for us all." 2 Corinthians 5:21. "Sin separates men from God." Isaiah 59:1-2. "Therefore Jesus cried, My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Taking our place, the Lord Jesus Christ felt the pangs of loneliness and sorrow we learn when we err, though He never erred. Truly, He gave Himself for our sins, 1 John 2:2, as the one who died for all. 2 Corinthians 5:14, "because Jehovah placed on Him the iniquity of us all." This wondrous little book of Habakkuk speaks of the virtue of plain preaching. We are urged to make it so clear that he who runs may read it. In an age that boasts of telling it like it is, we dare not muzzle the preacher or muffle the clarion call of the message of the gospel of grace, Acts 20, verse 24. When we do, we truly sin against our own soul, Habakkuk 2:10. The powerful announcement that informs us of a divine mandate, "The just by his faith shall live," makes Habakkuk memorable to the student of the New Testament. In Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, and Hebrews 10, we see the application of this truism. Actually, that great verse simply states a fact. Children of God are sustained by their constant fidelity to the Creator. But we must continue steadfastly, Acts 2:42, and always abound in the work of the Lord, 1 Corinthians 15:58, if we would be considered a faithful participant in the system of faith, Romans 3:27, Galatians 6, verse 9. The most brilliant section of Habakkuk is the last chapter that forms a beautiful acrostic poem in the Hebrew text. Many scholars refer to this part of the book as the purest language of the Old Testament. The mercy and justice of Jehovah find perfect blending therein. But the practical and dramatic urgency of Habakkuk's contribution to the Bible finds its climactic scene in chapter 2, verses 14 to 20. The battle lines are drawn tightly. Will Judah continue to seek aid from idols and pagan deities? Or will they learn once and forevermore to seek the Almighty? As long as the people sought counsel and military strength from the nations and spiritual comfort from dumb idols fashioned by their own hands, they would be in bondage to sin. The prophet taunts them by inquiring as to the depth of understanding they could ever receive from images of gold or wood or stone. He tells them bluntly that they ought to hush and let God talk to them through His Word, instead of them bowing down and crying out to representations of man's wicked imagination. Elijah fought the very same battle on Mount Carmel and handled the prophets of Baal in similar fashion. He even suggested to the devotees of idolatry that their god was asleep or off on a journey. Centuries later, Habakkuk echoed the sentiment of the vanity of a life bereft of Jehovah's guidance. In 1 John 5:21, Christians are taught to keep themselves from idols. Covetousness, which is idolatry, Colossians 3:5, is the shrine of materialism that beckons us today. Such emptiness as the worship of possessions keeps us from taking the gospel to the whole world. Altars in the groves may have been the problem in Habakkuk's days, but Cadillacs in the garage can be just as deadly in our own era. The poet perceptively stated, "The dearest idol I've known, whatever that idol be, help me to tear it from thy throne and worship only thee." Some brethren are obsessed with physical fitness, others with electronic gadgetry or political conservatism and racial problems. But in the hour of calamity, we shall not be delivered by a gym instructor, a psychiatrist, the science professor, or a rabid politician. Our place in the social register and our balance at the bank will pale into nothingness when we stand before the judge of all the earth. May we be wise enough not to wait until it is too late to heed the admonition. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. Habakkuk's urgent message is fresh and meaningful for our lives today.
The message you have just heard was brought to you by the Church of Christ.